Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm Jan Petterzelka.
And Jan, it's already towards the end of October. We want to make sure that people have their radar on a certain thing. So we want to make sure that you have registered for the Sun Country Landscape Conference. If you haven't by now, time is running out. This is next week on Thursday and Friday, October 26th and 27th at the Tech H2O Center. If you're interested to learn about trees, landscape, environmental stewardship, we're looking also at green infrastructure programs. Go ahead and support the West Texas Urban Forestry Council at their Sun Country Landscape Conference. And that price for that registration is $75 for 2 days. And you can register online at wtufc.org.
And that's out at Tech 2O?
Is that correct? Yes, ma'am, it sure is. And it's put on there by our good partners and the Council, Forest Council, the Texas Forest Service, and AgriLife Extension. So we really come together to put on these big programs for you every fall. So we look forward to seeing you out there. And before you get out there, you want to make sure that you take a look at your sprinkler system.
Amen. It's time to audit that a little bit and start to cut back.
Exactly. So if you have a Bermuda grass lawn, the temperature is going to continue to drop and that grass is going to slowly become dormant. So you want to start pulling back that water. But also don't forget that you still need some fresh water even during the winter time, because we do encourage you to water especially your trees during the winter time with some deep, infrequent irrigation. And we'll talk more when that comes along, because we'll be in the dead of winter.
And it does make a big difference, you know, Denise. We have a lot of salt in our soils here, and you know, people, I think, have a tendency to just sprinkle the top of things, and that encourages salt buildup. So you want to water deeply, and for your trees, you want to get down to about, especially for established trees, a good 24 inches, and make sure that you're getting that water down there and leaching those salts out of the soil. And so you do cut back. I know in the summertime I was going 3 times a week for 30 minutes, and then I cut back to twice a week for 20, and then I'll cut back here pretty quick to once a week in my grass, and it'll tell you. Really will tell you. It needs a rest. It needs a rest. And that's what it does when it goes dormant.
And that dead of winter will be here before you know it. Before then, we have the wonderful fall season.
Yes.
And on today's show, we'd like to talk to you a little bit about bringing some of those nice ornamental plants in and showcasing in your home using natural ingredients, using maybe some pumpkins or some gourds or something to be able to, as you're celebrating your fall holidays and extending that color into your home.
So I think it is so much fun, and everybody probably knows by now that I'm a big succulent aficionado. So using the little pumpkins, and they come in all different sizes and colors, and you know, it's a great thing for the kids to do. You can get some of those special kinds of magic markers that you know, for your little guys, that you probably would prefer that they not have a carving knife in their little hands, and they can decorate pumpkins and so forth and so on for the entire season without carving them out. But the carved ones also make great little planters.
Right.
Especially for succulents. And your succulents, most of them are very frost tender, so you need to be careful. And many of them you're going to want to bring inside into a greenhouse or back into your home. And you could make darling little place cards for your Thanksgiving meal, or just for having folks in for the holidays, and make little place cards and write their names on the pumpkins or whatever, and send them home with the succulent, maybe a jade plant or some sort of a sedum. And
I like the different options of having, you know, decorating for fall, because you can either use the live pumpkins, if you will, or you can use artificial ones.
Certainly.
And use them as containers or receptacles. So the you know, there's always a plus and minuses for a lot of things. But once you make that first cut into a pumpkin or to a gourd, that shelf life is going to decrease dramatically.
Sure.
On there. So kind of think about that if you want to go that route. And that's great for the, you know, the fresh tablescape or whatever you're trying to do. But if you want to keep that on your patio for any extended period of time, you're going to start seeing that poor pumpkin start decaying.
A little droopy.
It's going to get droopy. It's going to get a little dry because we're still going to have some warm days. And especially if it's getting some direct sunlight, that's also going to affect that. One way I kind of go around that is that, you know, I have small children and they do have their little plastic pumpkin pails that they use, and you know they don't last very much more than a year, so we try to extend them out as many years as possible, but after that they're just not functioning. The strap is broke, the handle's broke, it's just not going to do anything. And I just hate to throw that away or you know even to recycle it. So what I like to do is use those plastic pumpkin containers and then just buy either a potted mum or some pansies and you know, use it as a pot and pot.
A cash type. Pot is what we call it.
And exactly.
And that's such a great idea. And what a better thing to do, you know, in the fall when somebody comes to your house and you've got a small arrangement out there on the front porch. It's very welcoming and full of color.
Right.
And you can still keep the plant very healthy and alive. People don't need to know that it's still in a 1 gallon black container.
Right.
Because you've tucked it down in that recycled trick-or-treat bag or whatever.
Exactly.
And you can do the same thing even if you do carve a pumpkin.
Right.
You can use that carved pumpkin as a cash pot as well.
Exactly. So the biggest thing on that is you want to make sure that you line the inside of the pumpkin as well, even a old grocery bag that you want to save from going into the trash can, and use that as a liner. Mm-hmm. That way you kind of decrease the amount of moisture that's actually touching the inside of a pumpkin plant. And you know, when you look at other colors and styles, you don't really have to limit yourself to the natural greens and browns and oranges of the season. You know, even if you bring in other colors like purple, you know,
pansies would be fun, especially if it's a little white pumpkin.
Yeah, definitely.
That would be really dress up an area and make a beautiful tablescape with that. And again, we often mention that, you know, of course we all, you know, Google things and do the internet or do Pinterest or whatever, but there's all sorts of awesome ideas out there that just kind of, you know, you go, why didn't I think about that?
Right.
And bring some of your grasses in and those kinds of things as well. We talk when we make containers, we talk about a thrill, a fill, and a spill. Mm-hmm. So something that's nice and tall that maybe would rise above that pumpkin, you know, some pretty grasses or those kinds of things. That, you know, you can just wrap all of your containers together and just move, kind of like your living room. I think you're moving around for a little bit of a change.
Right. No, most definitely. And I think, you know, as you're also looking at, you know, entertaining and looking at other things and inviting folks to your home, and if your landscape may be a little quiet, if the leaves of the trees are starting to fall off or your grass is getting dormant, you know, if you really dress up the framing your front door, it's also
wonderful.
A great way to be able to do that. And there's a lot of different interesting pots that you can use year round. You can also buy a lot of, you know, combination of edibles as ornamentals as well. I don't recommend eating the ornamental kale that's out there
because
you're
going to
be
pretty.
Right, exactly. It definitely is pretty out there, and be able to use that for your entertaining acorns outside of you if you have
that's a great idea,
access
Denise.
To, or if you have oak trees.
An oak tree?
Uh-huh. That's also little great ways to be able to spruce things up and bring them inside. So I think it's interesting. You know, we don't really have a really showy fall season in this part of the neighborhood, if you will. But I really like those bright berries. If you look at Chinese pistache, they'll also have some really
gorgeous,
showy clusters of fruit. If you have a pyracantha bush as well, those are also really great with those little orange and red color.
Well, and I have a number of, we mentioned succulents earlier, and it's still early enough that they, you know, many of your succulents are cold hardy down to lots of times to 32 degrees, and we haven't quite gotten to that freezing point yet. But some of them get really tall. One of the succulents I'm thinking of is elephant's food, and it has a really really kind of an interesting growth habit, and it kind of drops down and curls back up, and it can be very tall. And you can incorporate something like that, or some of your euphorbias. Some of the, I have what's called an African milk tree. Mm-hmm. It's a euphorbia and a three-sided one. It gets real tall, has pretty red kind of cranberry-colored leaves. So, mm-hmm. you know, tuck all those things in there together, and like you say, just be creative and let those. I'm not the most creative person in the world. The only place really that I have that I do feel comfortable is in my garden.
And
pulling things, pulling things together. Your agaves, all of those kinds of things would be kind of fun to tuck, some pumpkins or some gourds.
I think the really cool thing about succulents as well, Jen, is that they're really, you know, symmetrical. They have really formal geometric shapes as well. And that really complements folks to be able to put them in interesting containers. I've seen a lot of things, even more recently, the Day of the Dead or Dia de los Muertos
yes.
has become really popular, very mainstream. Mm-hmm. So I think it's kind of interesting to see all those little skulls and things like that and always just like little plants tucked in there. And I think the succulents are just edgy enough.
They
to be
are.
Cool and to be able to be, you know, interesting to folks that maybe it wouldn't otherwise be gardeners, but it'd be really great little gifts for folks that want
to. And I just
start.
Went to a wedding
uh-huh.
where the succulents were incorporated into the boutonnieres, and the mother of the bride is a master gardener.
Oh, wonderful.
And she and her friend did them, and oh my goodness, they're so creative there. And it's a great way if you're a new gardener. Mm-hmm. To kind of get started in gardening. And it's very economical mm-hmm. because you're welcome to come to my house, and I've got all sorts of succulent cuttings.
Right.
You don't necessarily have to go out and buy everything new, but share that with your neighbors and friends. Let them cut them, let them sit for a few days and harden off, and the next thing you know, you have a whole new plant.
Right.
And that kind of brings us to the plant of the week, Denise.
That's
we were
right.
trying to think about some things. One of my favorite is the jade plant, and there's all different kinds of cultivars. The one I think that we're the most familiar with is the ovata, mm-hmm. which, like you say, with the symmetrical shapes and everything, it has kind of an oval-shaped leaf. And when it's exposed to a little bit of sun, it gets a real pretty red leaf margin on it, mm-hmm. and they actually bloom. Not
they
in
do.
My house, but they actually bloom, and I know that mine will soon.
Yes.
I'm just determined.
A very delicate little
pink flower.
Exactly. And if you
so
are,
pretty.
And if you anybody out there is ever interested in becoming part of the Master Gardener family, I share my jade plant with all of
goodness.
You all. My jade is older than my children, so it's probably over 15 years old now.
And
so,
you should see it, folks. It is humongous. It's the size of your dining room table, and it has been cut many, many times. And all of us have got Denise in our backyard.
Right, exactly. So that's it's one of my favorites. It's very easy, and I've had it for many, many, many years. So we're going to call jade our plant of the week.
I think that's great. One of my favorites. And again, there's many, many cultivars of jade. My master gardener friends tease me because I try to remember the scientific names.
Right.
And that is a crassula, C-R-A-S-S-U-L-A. And then whatever the cultivars, they have a middle name.
Right.
The ovata or the perforata or different ones. So
exactly.
I don't expect you to remember that. But for my master gardener buddies, remember, it's a good thing to know that.
It's just the species.
That's
yes,
right.
Ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Very good. Well, if you have any questions for the Master Gardeners and probably want to get a little cutting of that jade plant, you can certainly
exactly.
reach them at their help desk, and they'll be at there at 771-2354. So make sure that you give them a call if you have any gardening questions. And we're almost out of time, but we want to thank Lauren Terrazas for engineering and producing today's show. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm Jan Peterzelka.
And remember, a gardener shadow is the best way to keep your garden
good to grow.